previously on Corporate Homing.
We're going into week four of sheltering in place.
I'm just happy to be talking to somebody.
I want people to stop saying that we're all working from home.
Social distancing is not social isolation.
I need a happy hour. I need to see someone's face.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
It's day 3,632 of sheltering in place.
We're doing what we're calling the questions episode. Are you, meaning you and I, planning to share more of your personal lives? What's up, homies?
Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo, woo.
Welcome back.
We are coming to you on the 12th of September of Corona. I have no idea what day it is.
It's day 3,632 of sheltering in place.
Sheltering in place, safer at home. And now, you know, we are... You know, I'm in Florida, Demetria is in Texas, and our governors have decided that it is now just time to start opening the economy back up. And so it's a very interesting time for everybody. And, you know, before we got into the episode, we just wanted to say to the homies, like, we're thinking about you, we're sending you positive vibes. This is not an easy thing. You know, we've done a couple of episodes about the coronavirus and you know, now that we're all working from home, but, you know, whether you have children, don't have children, you're home by yourself, you have pets, this is, whether you're working or not working, this, everybody has a degree of difficulty in dealing with this scenario, and we just wanted to spend a few moments acknowledging that.
Yeah, for sure.
So, we're doing what we're calling the questions episode, in that we have gotten a myriad of questions from email, social media, in-person conversations. And so we're going to just answer the questions that have come out of the questions box on this episode. So,
yeah, we just want to say thank you. Well, but thanks for everybody who sent questions. We really appreciate that. And if for some reason your question wasn't answered, feel free to shoot us your questions at questions@corporatehomie.com. We did also want to get some feedback from you guys. We're thinking about doing the next time we do the questions episode on live, maybe do a Facebook Live or Instagram Live. If that's something you're interested in, shoot us a note and let us know if you would want that as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. So the first question we got is, are you both extroverts? And I am an extreme extrovert. Every personality test I've ever taken, I am on the high side of the x-axis of being an extrovert. As I like to say, I was born on a team since I'm a twin. I 100% get my energy from being around people. Even when I say things like, oh, I need some me time and I'm going to spend the entire day at home on a Saturday, I mean until about 3:30, and then I'm ready to get out in the world and be around someone else or be around other people. So yes, I am definitely an extrovert.
And you say that like you live alone. I mean, you like, I need to get around people. You'll be at home with somebody.
I gotta get out in the world. I gotta get out. I gotta be around people.
You know, I think I'm a what they call an ambivert. I both get my energy from being around people, but I also can recharge by being alone. I've definitely seen that even more so since we have been at home for the last 8 weeks. I don't feel stir crazy. I don't feel like I need to get out. I'm not going to be the first person who is going to sit down in a restaurant. As for me and my house, we're going to stay where we are and wait for everyone else to get on out, see how it goes for you guys. And then we'll get in the streets. We're good.
What did that meme say about Noah, that Noah sent the dove out of the ark? And it was like, I am not a dove.
I'm not a dove. I'm not, y'all, but I do want some doves to get out there and let us know if we're safe. So all good for that.
Or as a young homie say, y'all go ahead, love.
I'm good. Right, enjoy. The second question, Bemetra, is actually geared toward you. It says, how did you decide to leave corporate America after 20 years?
Oh, wow. That's such a good question. When I'm honest with myself, I never planned to stay in corporate America forever and ever. Amen. I do remember and recall when I was graduating from business school, having a conversation with myself about, you know, we're going to go to corporate America for 10 or 15 years. We're going to learn how to put deals together. We're going to learn finance and corporate structure, and then we're going to go do our own thing. So I know that deep down it was always in me to leave. So I think having an opportunity to leave and then take all that knowledge and then use it in the not-for-profit sector. And I couldn't feel more blessed to be able to do that during a pandemic because, you know, working for the United Way, I'm a part of the solution to all of the challenges that have occurred. And that's just a very good feeling to be a part of the solution.
So did you plan to leave and started looking for opportunities to do so? Or did an opportunity just fall in your lap?
So that's a great point. I got this opportunity. I'm 100% convinced because of how involved I have been in our civic and business community. This opportunity came to me from a relationship that I had, and I absolutely know the CEO from civic engagement and not from banking civic engagement. So it's just a reminder of, you know, stretch opportunities and new opportunities can come to you when you are a little bit outside of your core industry and you're involved. So, yes, I think that this very much came from being involved, being engaged, and having being engaged in such a way that people know that you're open to new opportunities, that you're not, because there's certain people that you would never bring them an opportunity because you're like, oh, they're never going to leave a law firm. They're never going to leave their CPA firm, or they're never going to leave, you know, Memphis, or they're never going to leave Tampa. So you don't bring them opportunities because they present in such a rigid way that you don't think that they're flexible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So the next question is, what is the biggest lesson you have learned during quarantine?
You know, that's a good one. I guess before I get to the biggest lesson, let me say this. I've never seen a time where I thought that we have had a common shared apprehension. So one of the things that I've observed is everyone, whether you are young or old or diverse or majority or privileged or not privileged, underrepresented, everybody has apprehension and anxiety around this pandemic. So that's just been something that I've observed. And the biggest lesson I've probably have found is that although we're all at home and people are being more productive, they're spending time with their children, all of that stuff, I think there is a social fabric that physical presence just has to have. There is nothing that's the biggest thing I've heard. Nothing substitutes physical presence. Like mm-hmm. as much as you can do a meeting online or have a Zoom happy hour with your friends or, you know, celebrate a birthday, you know, with a car parade, there is nothing like seeing somebody, shaking a hand, hugging them, running, even if you don't touch them, running into them, sharing your energy in the same space. That is a necessity and currency that everybody needs and desires.
Yeah, no, that I agree. There's no substitute for physical. And I think that's such a great lesson, especially for some of the younger generations to learn, because they typically like to, you know, text everything and whatnot. And this is a reminder that there is no substitution for physical presence. The biggest lesson that I've learned is that I had no idea how much people are in competition with the world, right? And so because we don't have physical presence, all we have now is social media. And so people are really being hard on themselves. So it's like, I thought I was doing great because I worked today, my husband worked, my kids got their lesson, and we fed them a meal. But it turns out so-and-so cooked a home meal and we ordered takeout, or we gave a frozen meal. So-and-so did all of that, and she got a workout in. So-and-so did all that, and she and her husband worked out together. So-and-so right. did all of that, worked out together, had a home meal, and then they had a date night when they put the kids down and watched the movie. So it's just like...
While they baked banana bread.
Yeah, so I just had no idea how much people are in competition with one another. And I think that that's bad because, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that some of these things that you think people are doing, they're doing it with help. There's extra people in the house. Like, their first cousin lives with them that actually cleans and cooks all the meals or what have you. So I've never been more convinced of run your own way, stay in your own lane. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing because you are not, we always say this, you don't have the same 24 hours as Beyonce or Oprah.
And it, or me, Tina on your block.
Or Tina on your block or Mary at your job. And so this has just reminded me that run your own race. I didn't realize how much people were in competition with one another.
That's a really good point because I definitely think that I have had moments of that during social media, just feeling like how are people watching all the shows, baking all the breads, getting all the workouts.
The show watching in itself, I'm like, people like been through and they'll name 14 different Netflix and Hulu shows. And I thought, are you working? How are you doing that?
And see, I think that about my gym. I'll see people like, I did, you know, 4 classes today. And I'm like, how do you do that and work your job?
And go to work.
I'm confused. But, you know, like you said, I just need to, you know, like you said, stay in your own lane, do what you can do and keep it moving. Okay. The next question is, a lot of women are leaving my job. And I'm a woman. Should I be worried?
Man, that is... That's a good one. I think it would equate to why are the women leaving? Is there a culture that within your organization that supports women, that elevates women? And I mean, I guess, do you know any of the women? Are you close enough with any of them to ask? Did they all go to the same place? Did they leave individually? I'm always leery of a place that people keep leaving and people say things like, you know, she just got an opportunity she couldn't pass up. And you think 12 people?
Right.
The opportunity 12 of a lifetime right. and none of them were looking? Like, that's just not true, right? That's just not true, right? I hate when people do that. You're like, no, dog, you got a culture issue over there, you know? So,
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that... And it's important for you, not only, like you said, one, I think you made a great point. Don't make it up. If you can try to actually go and figure out what's happening, that's better than you deciding that you know why they're leaving. So maybe talking with that if you're closer. And also, I would say I would be worried if the organization didn't have any response. If there are a lot of people of the same, you know, background, even if all the bankruptcy lawyers were leaving or all the women or all the minorities or whatever, and no one's talking about it and everyone's acting as if this common
group. No worries
group,
here.
Right. This common group is departing. That would also give me pause. So good luck with that.
That's a red flag.
Follow up with us and let us know on that one.
Keep us posted on that one. So the next question is, are you, meaning you and I, planning to share more of your personal lives?
No. I mean, I don't know. I feel like
we share a lot already.
Yeah. I was about to say, I feel like we share a good bit of our personal lives. I know a lot of the homies follow. And if you want to see more of our personal lives, we have personal social media pages. So there isn't a lot of our personal life. Maybe that's what they're saying. There isn't a lot of our personal life on Corporate Homies page. But if you're interested in what our personal lives are like, we both have our own page, you know, have our own personal page. But even within that page, I feel like I share as much as I'm comfortable with sharing. And I'll continue to do that. But I don't feel like I need to share more. And, you know, it's funny, this one came on Instagram, this question, and I clicked on the person's page who asked, and their page was private. And so that's I just classic. Thought that was really interesting that they were asking if we were going to share more of ourselves.
I want more of you, no
but
more of me.
But they didn't share any of themselves with people. So I just thought that was kind of the irony of that. But what do you
the
think
The irony
about
is
share?
Ironic.
Right. Well, what do you think about no. how you share?
Yeah, no, I feel like you said, my personal page is open. It's a public page because, as I like to joke, you can't be a celebrity if you don't let people follow you.
Oh, Lord, so, yes. Can't blow up.
So my page is, so my page is open. And like you said, there's things that I do personally with my wife. There are pictures of my gorgeous niece and nephews. Golf food that I make. I feel like it's a very open and inviting window into my life, you know. So yeah,
right. It's there for the fans and the haters,
but mainly for the haters.
That is too funny.
So the next question, Demetria, is actually for you.
Oh yeah.
Do you plan to take your husband's name after marriage? For those homies who haven't been keeping up, Demetria is engaged. Yay. So she is the future Mrs. Banks. So do you
well,
plan
I guess
on,
that's
oh,
the question.
Are you the future Mrs. Banks?
That's the question. You know, I guess this is an interesting question. And, you know, I'm actually surprised that anybody even cares about this, but I'm happy to answer it. I am taking my husband's name in real life. So I will legally change my name, but I am not changing my name at work in any capacity. So I guess that's like the modern woman I am. The answer is yes and no. I guess that, you know,
kind of
correct. So, you know, you're okay. I'm of the future, but you're a newlywed. What did you do? Or have you done anything yet?
So we've done a hybrid of our names. So, legally, I will be, you know, Demetria Salter Liggins, which Salter is Abeba's maiden name and Liggins is my maiden name. So we're combining the two.
So that's what y'all, but y'all haven't done it yet. So y'all like one of those couples, like the newlywed couples who wait to do it.
Before all this Corona stuff, we were supposed to travel to Italy and we were going to do it after we got back from Italy so that our passports had the names, but now we're going to go ahead and change our names legally. But originally it was like, oh, we'll wait till after the summer after we've traveled to Italy because our passports have our, you know, have our existing names. But obviously we're not going to Italy now. No one's going to Italy right now.
No one's going to Italy. And that's for everything. No, right. That's personal, professional, everything. You'll just,
yeah, that's for everything. Okay. Yeah. It'll be for everything. All right.
Okay. Next question. Oh, well, this is a little deep on my heart. Are you guys going to write a book? So here's the deal. We've started a book. We just haven't finished it. And I feel like, thank you for convicting us. I mean, this is one of those things where, kind of what we were talking about in the Corona episode, where I've just really had to grace myself. In my mind, this would be the perfect opportunity to finish said book, but it just hasn't been a good time. For me, anyway, to write. I don't know if you've written any chapters since we've been on
the break. I need to write, but yes, the answer is yes. We do plan on. We are in the process of writing a book right now. Yeah.
Yeah, but what about you? Do you find that you can dig deep during these moments and write? And
no, not right now. I wish I could. I need to try to find a way to do that, but I haven't been able to. No.
Okay.
All right, the next question is, will Corporate Homie do a live event or retreat? If the homies want a retreat or a live event, if the homies will support that, we'd love to do that. We want to do anything that the homies want and would support and would attend. We don't want to do a retreat for the sake of having a retreat, but we want to do one if the homies will support it. So yes, I would say that is a long-term goal. Yes.
That is definitely on our long-term goals. And, you know, probably what you'll see in 2021, because, you know, let's all be honest, 2020 is over.
2020 is it's going to be like when you work a job for...
It's a Gordon Carter shirt.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be where when you work a job for 8 months and you just don't put it on your resume, it's going to be that. That's what 2020 is going to be.
You know, and it's so funny because I heard someone say, and I know it's a little bit off topic, but I heard somebody say, you know, I just want to know if 2020 is, if the summer's really canceled, so I can just keep eating all the carbs. Hey, like if we're not going to be in shorts and swimsuits and crop tops, like can somebody just let us know like that we're really going to be in place until September. And so I can just go ahead and just fully enjoy my pandemic and my carbs.
I saw a meme the other day that was like, I don't know who needs to hear this, but go try on your jeans, like your sweatpants.
And I saw that, like, and I rebuked that negativity in my whole life. Like, no, I will not. I don't even think I've put on a pair of jeans, but yeah, that's a good one. How do you end a relationship but keep in touch? I thought this one was a really interesting question. I assume they meant a, you know, a professional relationship, like you quit a job since this is corporate homie. And, you know, we both have kept in touch with numerous people and even bosses from previous jobs.
Right.
I do think that if you want to keep in touch with someone, my first advice is what we say about a lot of things is you need to be really intentional about it. So you need to make a point, like, and sometimes it's easier if you decide I'm going to touch base always, you know, around their birthday and the holidays, or I'm going to touch base on, you know, something that might be significant. I know that they're a big March Madness fan. I'm going to touch base, or they like golf and I'm going to touch base during the Masters, something like that. One of my old bosses that I still have a relationship with, he loves Mexican food. And so just periodically, I he's also a very much a morning person, Rhett Campbell. And so I'll say like, hey, let's meet for breakfast, or let's go get a taco, because I know that's something that he likes to do. So that's mine. And I would say also, you know, shoot an email when you're thinking about somebody, or send them a LinkedIn message. But what do you?
I do the what you do, which is I picked something about that person, whether it, like you said, it's a something, a hobby or whatever, that allows me to stay in touch with them. Also, if something happens that at work or professionally that is good, that is a result of my relationship with them, I will send them a note that says, hey, just wanted to share with you, you know, such and such happened today at work, or I won this deal and I realized that I learned this from you, and just wanted to, you know, reach out and say hello and just thank you again and that type of thing. And that's another way of, like, when something happens that reminds you of the leadership or the goodness of that relationship, that's a good time to is a touch point as well. All right, the next question is, do you still go to therapy? Absolutely. I absolutely go to therapy. I've been steadfast in that I think everybody should go to therapy. I think they should go regularly. It's like going to get a physical checkup. You know, yes, I can tell you I've been to therapy during the corona via video conference with my therapist. It has helped. This is a stressful time. Everybody around you is stressed. You are not different. You are not unique and exempt from that. So yes, I still go to therapy.
When I first started going to therapy, I had like a weekly appointment, and I no longer go on like a regimented schedule like that.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
Right. But I sometimes I think maybe I should just put that in, but I do still go. And like you, I have had an appointment with my therapist, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
During corona as well. I think of therapy and continue to encourage the homies. I know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so it's a good time to ask this question, but really just to encourage you that if therapy, I won't say if it's on your mind, therapy is something that really can help and assist most people. To me, it's like the gym. You can just incorporate it and make it a part of your routine. The next question I have, and I'm gonna share it because somebody asked it, but I'm not sure that I'm gonna answer it. It's, do you make more money than your partners? So I just want to share this because we get these kind of questions, and as much as, at least for me, that's not something I feel like is something I'm going to share. I don't think that it's important. and maybe it is, and maybe we can get some feedback on that. There, people have questions about how to balance that. There are, you know, I guess a lot of issues with that or not issues. I don't know. I feel like I want to share things that are personal to me and what I feel comfortable, but I also don't want to ever share things that are what I consider my partner's personal information. And so I think start talking mm-hmm. about his income versus mine and or her or his what something he does versus me. I just don't think that's fair to him.
Yeah, I don't think that that's a question that I would feel comfortable answering either. So we're going to move on. But we did want to let the homie that shared that know that we did know that it was asked. The next question is, how do I stay myself at work? We've done numerous episodes and within episodes talking about authenticity. That's the word that I'm going to come back to. Yes, be authentic to yourself, whatever that means. And I would say what we always say about this topic. If you work somewhere that you cannot be yourself, you need to go work somewhere else. Because if you can't be yourself, you spend too much time at work, you're going to be that's a very long time to be outside of yourself, to force yourself to be somebody that you're not. And then that behavior is going to be not organic, and it's going to be very tough to sustain. So I would say if you don't feel comfortable with being yourself at work, you've got to go find somewhere where the culture does allow you to be yourself.
Yes, I completely agree with that. And like she said, Bimitra said, we've had a number of episodes on that. But I also would really challenge you to think about what being yourself is, because I think that there are lots of facets and sort of versions of yourself that are all yourself. So to me, I think, you know, you can be a person who, you know, listens to classical music and likes ratchet music, and both of those are yourselves. And so just because you're not sharing the person who listens to ratchet music at work doesn't mean that you're not getting to be your authentic self. So just really challenge yourself to even sort of, you know, redefine. But like Bimitra said, if you think like, I never get to share anything about myself or feel like myself in any way, but it's also okay not to share every single thing about yourself at work. The next question we received is, do you enjoy working from home right now?
Actually, I do. I don't mind the working from home. I don't mind not being in a suit every day. I definitely feel like I'm ultra productive. I wish that we could have some type of hybrid of the way I'm working from home and still get a chance to go out and be around people. But the working from home itself is not bothering me. I'll probably take a picture and show it. I have been meaning to work on my home office for the 2 years that I've owned my house, and I hadn't done anything with it. And now my office has a desk and dual monitors and what is this thing called? The Jabra speaker, you know, like, so I got my home office has come a long way. So yeah, it's actually it's not bothering me. I'm not mad at
it. I enjoy it. I enjoy working from home. I enjoy not getting dressed in like clothes for real. I enjoy not putting on makeup every day. I do enjoy that piece. I just enjoy the casualness that I'm able to do. I feel like I also have more flexibility in my schedule. So I feel like I can control better, like when I go for a workout, whatever, because I don't even really know why I feel like I control that more. Maybe it's because there is no get to the gym, get back, get a shower, put yourself back together. You can just get in, get a shower, plop back down, and I'm back.
I was gonna say, because there isn't any prep time or re-engagement time, right? So like normally you're like, I need to pack my bag, and then I've got a 20-minute drive to the gym, and then like you said, I've got 30 minutes on the back end to take a shower, redo my hair, redo my makeup. And to try to do that in the middle of the day, whereas now it's like, oh, I can go for a walk, go take a shower, put on a t-shirt or lounge clothes and be back
ready
on
for my
call,
and be back
right?
ready for my call, right? Yes, so that.
Right.
Yes, yeah, so I do. Yeah.
The next question is, do your friends and family listen to the podcast?
Yeah, we shortened this one down. The question actually was saying is they were thinking about starting a business and they were trying to get their family and friends to support them, and they didn't feel like they supported them, so they wanted to know if our family and friends listened to the podcast.
Sometimes, I will say this about the podcast, and Demetria may or may not agree with me. I can tell when people are listening because they will talk to me about what we've said on the podcast, not something generic like, the podcast is great. They will actually mention something specific. So, yes, we have some friends and family that listen. I'm sure we have some friends and family who have never listened, right? So I think it's a combination of both. I think sometimes we have friends that are listening regularly, and sometimes they're not listening at all. So the range is all over the place.
Yeah, I know. I actually agree with that. And I would say this, you can't start a business that you plan that it will solely function off of your family and friends. You start a business because you think you can meet a need. You have a solution to a problem that has, you know, not been met, so that you have something to offer the world that you don't think is out there. And you shouldn't get upset if your friends and family are not your customers or not your clients, because I just expected our friends and family will be our friends and family. And if they listen to the podcast and support the business, then that is amazing and fantastic, but I don't put pressure on those relationships. Like, we're not really friends if you're not listening to the podcast.
Right.
So.
Right. How do you get boundaries with family? I've got an old school mama. We have an old school mama too.
Yes, we do. Right. Yes, we do.
I mean, we were joking about the lady on Instagram that was giving her kids the, what I call the pre-leave the house speech, before we leave the house speech. Don't touch anything. Don't eat anything. Don't ask for anything to drink. So we very much have an old school family. Setting boundaries with family is tough if you've never had boundaries with family, because when you begin to set boundaries, they take that as like, who do you think you are?
Or disrespect.
And disrespect. But boundaries are for you. And, you know, this is why therapy is good, because it teaches you how to set boundaries in a respectful way. And encourages you to make sure that you're always taking care of yourself.
Yes, and I completely get this question, and I agree that boundaries are hard. The other thing I would add is, when you're setting a boundary, make sure that what you're communicating is that the boundary is for you. You don't need to tell people you're setting a boundary about their behavior. I mean, you could do that, but it's not what my therapist would call, it's not relational. So what I mean by that is that if you've decided...
You trigger me, and so I'm going to have to not do this with you. You can't talk to people like that.
Right, but if you're like, you know, you can't say to someone, I don't want my kids over there because you guys drink and smoke, and I don't want that around my children. You can just say, I am not going to bring them over because I've decided that they're not in this environment, but not because you do this or you do this. It's just that my children don't listen to secular music. And so when there's secular music played, we go, because I don't expose them to that. Or I don't want to feed my children junk food. And so I don't let them do this because that has junk food. This is one time where, you know, we usually say, just say no. But sometimes I think, when you do kind of communicate and make the boundary about you, not that person's behavior, but what you have found is best for you and your family. And your family could be just you. Your family can be you and your partner, you and your children. But if you're communicating it, and sometimes you don't have to communicate. Sometimes you don't have to say, we're not coming, because you can just be like, oh, I'm so sorry, we can't make it.
Right. And I would say we do boundaries all the time. Like, my best example of boundaries is smoking and not smoking. Right? People who do not smoke don't allow people who smoke to smoke in their homes. And nobody is offended by that. Nobody would just
come
to a non-smoker's house and light up a cigarette. And that's a boundary, right? So it's all, to me, in the same realm.
Yeah. I think we've got time for one more question, and unfortunately, we're going to run out. The next one is, how do you prepare for a recession? We got that one in the Instagram box. And I'll just start. I think that preparing for a recession, which I know is on a lot of people's minds because of the pandemic, it is important. And let me say this. We're not financial advisors. We can't give financial advice or anything like that. But the one thing I would say is to save money and to cut some expenses. And what better time to do that than while we're in the pandemic and you're not able to go and get your hair done, your nails done, eat out with your friends every week. It's a really good time. You know, if you're having anxiety about the recession, I'm not saying for everyone, but if you're having anxiety about the recession, to really sit down and do a budget, look at your budget, see where there are some cost saving measures, because the chances are you can't necessarily make more money right now, but you can cut expenses. And if you cut expenses, you'll have some money. And I think the money not only will help prepare you, but it'll also, when you start seeing a little bit of savings in the bank, it'll cut down on some of the anxiety you're feeling about the what you're seeing as a potential recession.
Yeah, this is a really good question. And Demetra did a nice job of answering it. I just saw a report for the Tampa Bay area, and it said that basically most people only had about 3 weeks worth of savings. And so this pandemic, when you think about 33 million Americans are out of work, that's significant. The second thing that I would say is preparing for a recession is not just financial, it's also mental, right? And there's a lot of mental preparation, because sometimes that means that maybe you're not losing your job, but your spouse is losing their job. Or nobody loses their job, but everybody has to take a pay cut. Or you get to go back to work, but at 25% capacity. So you don't have the hours that you used to have. And so there's a lot of mental preparation that can go into a recession as well, because 90% of people take their self-worth by what they do for a living. There's two pieces of preparing for a mental recession. It's like, you know, getting yourself in a place to be supportive of yourself or your family member that's not working, and not just financially, but mentally as well. So thank you guys so much for sending the questions. I know there's a little bit of an unorthodox episode, but we had fun answering your questions. We appreciate all the feedback. If you listened to this and you thought of additional questions, as Demetra mentioned, please send that to us on all of our social media platforms.
Or at questions@corporatehomie.com. And just follow us on social, because we're all at home and you can reach us there. So until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
The All of You Get You a Twin. Get you another homie.